Blog Talk Radio.
Of the $12 radio show. It's a Sunday afternoon. It's a little bit after 4 o'clock here, Mountain Standard Time. If you're listening across the country or around the planet, adjust your clocks accordingly. It's a beautiful day here in Colorado. We've got, this is the first weekly edition of the once weekly edition of the $12 radio show. Previously Monday through Friday, and now it's here with you on a Sunday. So we've got a number of guests to get to, and I noticed that there's already somebody who is on the line, so we might have somebody here to start with right off the bat. Let's go ahead and check. Good afternoon, $12 show. Who do I have?
Dustin, what's up?
Dustin, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm not doing too bad. Let me go ahead and introduce you to everybody. This is my friend Dustin Michael, Tell me a little bit about your background. I know that you've done some comedy. I know that you're a cyclist, but tell me a little bit about you.
I'm a cyclist, a beginner cyclist who decided to do an adventure across the country. Pretty amateur cyclist, but I decided to take that first step. My past is basically I've been in the music industry for a really long time, changed careers, decided to become a massage therapist.
Oh, wow. So a lot of different stuff going on. The reason though, that you're here today, though, is not only – so amateur cyclist or your status aside, if I've got this right, you're riding cross-country with – is it your brother or your friend Andrew?
My friend Andrew. Say hi, Andrew.
Hey, Andrew, my name is Dave. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So where are you guys at in Florida exactly right now?
We're in Perry, Florida. I'm not really sure the history of the town or the agriculture or industry. We're just sitting in a hotel right now, like resting for the day, healing. Been treating my knee and just like, kind of hanging out.
You don't really have to tell me about the history. All you have to do is tell me the fact that, because, you know, even though you're an amateur cyclist, I was going to, that's what I was going to do. I was going to explain to the listeners the reasoning and the motivation behind your trip. It's a cross-country trip that you and your friend Andrew are making, and it's, correct me if I'm wrong, it's to raise funds and awareness for cancer and cancer research.
Yes, I'm raising money for cancer awareness, and Andrew's raising money for ALS.
Oh, so you both have your own separate passions that you're behind.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah. Now, I know that Dustin has, I think I understand this correctly, you have somebody that you that has cancer, or
Well, I've had a lot of, like my family this last year, a lot of my aunts have been diagnosed with cancer. I lost a friend who had lung cancer, left a moth, he had lung cancer, and it motivated me to make the bicycle ride bigger than myself.
I understand. It's such an enormous word, and I know that they've made a lot of strides in our lifetime towards the treatment, but it's still a very scary word because, you know, the worst case scenario, it's life and death. And it's surprising how many people that we all know who have been touched by somebody who has the disease.
That's very true. One out of three Americans get cancer of some sort.
That's astounding. That's really a powerful number. You throw around 33%, you know, that number, it doesn't really sound – it sounds strong, but one out of three, that sounds ominous. That makes you realize that when you get a table full of people together, that by statistics, somebody at that table is going to end up being touched by cancer personally.
That's
true. Pretty but you are in good health, obviously, because I've read your stuff on Facebook. I've seen that you're a big conditioning buff or aficionado. You're always talking about conditioning and.
Yeah, I believe in health and working out, and a lot of this bicycle tour is more about mental stuff than anything. It's not so much about diet. It's about just pushing yourself past your mental limits.
Yeah, well, no, that's the idea right there, because if you were going to tell me the idea of traveling cross-country by bicycle, I would figure that would only be somebody that I would have heard about on the news, somebody far removed, not somebody that I had any ability to connect with. But to realize that you have amateur status and you're this far into your journey. Have you been getting nice coverage along the way from different media?
We've had a few little tiny articles back in Fort Collins, Colorado, nothing too big. Just to be honest with you, we've been eating a lot of McDonald's, and we've been eating at Waffle Houses. So, like, talking about diet, at this point, we're just burning stuff off, and it doesn't really matter what we eat.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, well, like for example, how far how many miles have you put on between Fort Collins and where you're at in Florida?
Gosh, that's a good question for Andrew. He's a smart guy.
Andrew, what are our numbers? What's our mileage number that we've reached between Fort Collins and where you're at?
Probably like 1,600.
About 16 miles so far.
So how long? So when was it exactly that you two took off from Fort Collins?
We left September 1st, and so what? It's October 2nd, right? So about 32 days total.
Wow. So this is there. I mean, you've made a significant amount of the trip, but still quite a bit of the trip to go. What is this like? Is this a third of the way? Is this a fourth of the way? Is it any kind of a milestone at all so far?
It's a big milestone. We're almost done, actually. We're about, I would say, 2 to 3 days out until, well, Andrew's riding further than me. He's riding down to Fort Lauderdale. My trip is almost done. I have about maybe 2.5 days left.
Oh, okay. So you're getting ready to wrap this up. So you're flying home is what you're saying.
Yeah. So I'm shipping my bike once I get to Daytona Beach. And flying home via Delta Airlines. And then Andrew he's continuing his ride down to Fort Lauderdale. He's going to visit his aunt who's suffering from ALS. And that might take him about 4 more days, possibly.
Well, let me ask you this. So let's move from Dustin here to Andrew. Andrew, how... I'm sorry, you said it's an aunt who has ALS?
It's an aunt who has ALS.
Now, I was going to ask, is ALS, is that the one that's also known as Lou Gehrig?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the voluntary muscle, like, disease. Gets to the point, you know, like Stephen Hawking.
Okay, so this is a very physically debilitating disease.
Yeah, very physically. You're just trapped in your head, basically, once it really takes a hold of you, you know. You just can't move. Just you're really dependent on other people.
I have been there with taking care of relatives with different stages of health. So it can definitely take a toll. But when you visit her, is she still at home, or is she in a facility? I mean, not a facility. I hate to use that word. Or is she in assisted living? Or
she's at home. I think she has people taking care of her. I think part time family and some sort of nursing staff. I believe some sort of situation
It still means a lot, though, even with the nursing staff, to still have the connection with being at home. I think.
Yeah. You know, the comfort of being at home and, you know,
around, you're seeing your pictures and your furniture and your things and,
yeah. So, at home. And so I think I've been corresponding with her, been talking with her through email. She uses this machine that, you know, she uses her eyes. I don't know how that works, but, you know, she uses her eyes to sort of write down what she wants to write, you know, and she has a machine that lets her communicate.
I was just gonna say, communication must really be a challenge. But then you run that by about, the technical assistance for her to be able to communicate, and that technology is just stunning. You could explain it to me someone could explain it to me all day long, and I would just sit here and it'd be like trying to teach a dog how to type. But it's mind-boggling.
And technology is just running at such an advanced, accelerated pace. And, you know, my only wish is, you know, I'm sure she wishes is that, you know, like they would find something that was, just, you know, like a cutting edge treatment that would really turn that disease around and stuff, you know, but, you know, just keeping hope alive and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, it's great. And I mean,
I think it's going to mean just a lot to her too, for her not just to see you, but to realize what it took for you to get down there
this sort of thing. Yeah. It's just, the amount of effort it took and just, you know, in her honor for sure. And for the disease and what it means, you know, money for that cause and awareness.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, too, probably, you know, you and your family, it's you tend to get isolated, and these are a lot of these are diseases that you've never heard of, or you can never imagine having it touched you, and you end up feeling a little alone and isolated. But it's surprising how many people probably do have ALS.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what statistics are, but I think like 10% is like hereditary, and I'm not quite sure, but it's horrible. You know, it's a terrible disease for anyone, you know, family or you know yourself to go through. Just to see just how someone can go from a vibrant person, just like, you know, this personality, and just and lose all that, you know, and be like a shell of what you were.
I understand. I mean, it's you know, obviously it's most frustrating for them, but
yeah.
It's frustrating for the people around them, because these are people who've done so much for so many people. And I mean, every disease and every, you know, every condition that, you know, that can take away from you. You just, you wish there was something that you could do to give them back a little bit of their, freedom. And, it's good to know that she has, right now she has as much freedom as she's able to have, and that she's as comfortable as she's able to be at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough all around, really. Just like cancer, you know, it's a frustrating sort of thing, you know.
Well, I can definitely sympathize, because my mom had Alzheimer's, and you know, the idea of the freedom factor and the amount of home care that it takes, and the amount of people tend to run away as soon as they hear cancer or they hear any disease word, since they're almost afraid to come up and keep up with people when that's what's needed the most. All the medicine in the world is important, but the continued connection is hugely important.
Yeah, people. I mean, you have different people, you know, and like people choose to confront it in different ways. And some people withdraw from it, and it's a very tough situation all around, you know.
Yeah. It can be overwhelming, as I'm sure it was for family, you know, that was down there, that, you know, that is a little bit closer in range. It's you don't know what to do, and the only thing that really is an option is to just keep asking questions and keep moving forward, and somehow or another trying to keep hope intact.
And try to keep that person comfortable.
That's
best to do, you know.
So let me ask you this. This is directed towards both of you. Is there anything along there? Has there been any really memorable stop or something that you've seen along the way? Are there any highlights from the trip? Have you taken a lot of pictures?
We've taken a ton of pictures.
Cool.
I would say the people. You know, like, there's a lot of fear going on in the news about the South and the police and racial divides and things like that. And there's – the people in this country are amazing. Like, everybody is so curious and loving and very generous to us. And I have nothing bad to say about this country. I think everybody's wonderful.
I think, you know, just as a side note, I think, you know, a lot of the coverage that is going on about the, you know, the racial divide, it's a very real thing. It needs to be addressed, but I still think it's, you know, percentage wise, it's not as pervasive as people think. I think that racism factor has always been there. I think why people are so surprised is that it's being photographed more and being presented on the news more. But as a whole, as a majority, I think you're right. I think people generally, you know, they want to reach out. They are genuinely helpful. They are genuinely good by nature, I think.
I agree. I think everybody's been great to us, and we've had some run-ins with the police, to be honest with you, that haven't been so
yeah
well, if you want to know about that, we'll definitely elaborate. But nothing too scary. We've never felt really super vulnerable or threatened in any kind of way.
Sure.
But
now, I was gonna say. So, what could you possibly have been doing that would have generated the attention of the police? Because you're just riding, you're just cycling through their town. What could possibly have raised a red flag?
Well, in America, David, there's nowhere to actually lay your head to sleep for free. We're forced to pay for hotels, forced to pay for hostels. Campgrounds are not free. We're peacefully trying to sleep on a beach or in a park and being questioned by the police. So that seems to be an issue.
No, yeah, I understand. This is it's two completely different sets of experiences. But you know, you're going through and you're sleeping outside. I went through a stretch of several months where I was homeless, and there were a couple of nights where I found myself outside. And yeah, it depends on which police officer the encounter was with would determine on how friendly things would be.
That's very true. We met a sheriff that was awesome. He thought that our bicycle tour was amazing. He looked up to it, and he was great. But some of the other encounters we've had, not so good. But, you know, we moved on and didn't, you know, obviously get arrested. But
Well, you know, I mean, they might have been curious. They might have, you know, given you a little bit of a bad time. But you're both traveling with identification. You're both, you know, not just out and about outdoors. You're traveling on some pretty nice bicycles, nice cycles. So I mean, you know, and you're not really doing anything wrong except being outside. So I would imagine that eventually they've got to reluctantly cut you loose because. Because your effort doesn't paint the picture of being a hooligan.
That's true. I mean, my bicycle is worth more than my car at the moment.
Oh, so. I bet. No, those are that can be a very serious ride. That's a major investment that you're talking about.
That's very true.
You haven't had any trouble with your ride on the way down there where you've had to do any repair or anything like that, have you?
You know, we've had our flat tires, and we've had our little tiny maintenance issues, but nothing huge.
Oh, good. So basically, stuff that you could take care of, that the two of you could take care of yourselves on the road.
Yep, definitely. Andrew's going to have to buy a new hub for his front tire.
Yeah, I bought a new hub for the front tire. That was really good.
No. Five flat tires, and I think one flat tire. I just needed to buy a new hub because I couldn't find any of the same valve for that tire, specific tire in the town. So I had to get a straighter valve because I was traveling with Cresta valve.
I was going to say, I would imagine that you'd definitely going into this, even with amateur status, you'd still have to have a decent level of knowledge of repair to make sure that you made it through. Because if you don't, if you're on a tight enough budget where accommodations are a challenge, you're definitely not walking into a bike store and paying $100 for repairs. So,
You're right. I'm the main guy.
you're the tech guy?
I'm the tech guy.
You're not just the rider of the NASCAR crew, you're also part of the pit crew?
Yeah, sometimes when we're like working on our bikes, we talk about that actually. We're like, this is like NASCAR. We're like, you know, he's throwing up the tire and I'm putting on the brakes. And I'm like, this is like NASCAR. These are like what the NASCAR
Let me just take a quick second here. Go ahead, take a break, and remind people that if you'd like to call into the show, the number here at the studio is 646-564-9650. You can get a chance to talk to Dustin or to Andrew or to myself. We're talking about a ride that they've made between Colorado all the way down to Florida to raise awareness for not just cancer, but for ALS. Can you guys hang out for like about 90 seconds? I was just going to take a musical break and get something out of my notes. Can you do that?
We can do that. We'll be here.
Okay, I'm going to take like about 90 seconds. We're going to go ahead and take a listen to just a little bit of Gold on the Ceiling from the Black Keys while we do that. Talking with Dustin and Andrew, my name is David Bublitz. We are live here on the weekend edition of this, the first anniversary. You're here on the first anniversary of the show, of the 12 Battle Radio Show. The Ceiling from the Black Keys. Thanks for tuning into the 12 Dollar Radio Show, the once weekly edition. It's episode number 153, but the very first episode of the Sunday show. Thanks for tuning in. We've got our friends Dustin. Actually, Andrew, what's your last name?
It's Hubie.
Hubie?
Yeah, H-U-B-I.
Oh, okay. My last name is Bublitz, so I always want to make sure I get people's name right. just continue the you know the karma. Otherwise, I won't have any shot of people getting my name right. Anyway, Andrew Hubie, and we've also got Dustin Michael. My name is David Bublitz. Program note here: we were supposed to have. We're talking to Dustin and Andrew. Top of the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking to Colorado comedian Bob Godet, and then you guys noticed it, that. Or at least somebody noticed that when I was sending out the notes for people what time to call, I had previously done the daily version of this at a different time, so I sent out the wrong time for people to call. So we're not going to get a chance to hear from Woody Purcell, a country singer here in Colorado. I thought it was funny. On a side note, Woody's – I mean, do you guys like country music?
A little bit.
I heard that qualifier in your voice there. I'm kind of the same way. Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I'm not a huge fan, but it's like anything. If it's really good, it doesn't matter what kind of of music that you listen to. Anyway, so Woody is definitely walking the walk and talking the talk, and he's a real genuine cowboy. Guy's almost 60, and he's still doing it in his spare time. He's still a rodeo clown. Just ridiculous. Yeah. So and he's doing music full time, and he's working full time, but. So over the weekend, he was working a place called the Sundance here in Fort Collins. Apparently they had double booked tonight, and they didn't realize that Woody and his band are going to be there. They had a Rolling Stones cover band in there instead. And I was just glad that they straightened that out, because I can't imagine two more different sets of expectations for an audience, you know, expecting country and getting the Stones, or the other way around. So if anybody out there was expecting to hear Woody, we will talk to him sometime in the future. Also, we're not quite 100% sure about getting a chance to talk to Colorado comedian Brett Crandall, because again, another miscue on my part. But we are definitely having fun with the guests that we have here. As I mentioned, we'll talk to Bob here at the top of the 5 o'clock hour, 4:30. 646-564-9650 is our phone number. So when you get home, you were saying, Andrew, that you're a massage therapist?
No, Dustin, I'm a massage therapist.
I'm sorry. So wait a minute. Okay. So who's who? Go ahead and tell me which one of you does what again. I'm sorry.
This is Dustin, and I'm a massage therapist.
I got you. I'm attaching the wrong name to everybody here. Okay, so, and that's your primary job? That's what you do primarily?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, cool. And then, Andrew, what about you?
I'm unemployed, so I have to find a new job.
It was a good time to, you know, you had your calendar available. See, so things, they were, you know, they worked out the way they're supposed to. So what would you, what's the dream job when you get your job? What are you looking for?
Something to hold me over, and probably, you know, want to go back to school, get a degree in something, maybe psychology.
That's pretty cool.
Probably like 6 to 8 years. Of that.
That's some serious amount of time in school.
Of course, yeah, but I think, like, if you're in that field, you're, like, guaranteed you have to, like, do something to distinguish yourself.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, what's the difference between a psychiatrist and a psychologist? Do you know the difference?
I don't know. It just seems like a really vague, or like, I don't know. Not a sort of thing.
Yeah, I had heard it was something, you know, pretty basic, or one of the differences was one person has a prescription pad and the other one doesn't.
Is there like an MD, you know, can like prescribe medication? The other one's just, you know, they'll analyze you or whatever, but they don't have that power of medication, you know.
I don't think I'd want to have that power. That's a little bit too, a little bit too much power. Someone takes my advice badly, and you know, it's their call to get guided by it or not. But man, you hear the side effects on some of these psych drugs that they have out there. And one of the new meds that's out there, I didn't realize that a common side effect for depression medication is could contain possible intensified depression. Could make your depression worse.
Yeah,
okay.
It's just finding the you know, the different levels, serotonin, going there for 4 hours.
Could cause suicidal thoughts. Wait a minute, what am I taking this for? Am I a guinea pig or what?
Yeah, you have to get the dosage right. They just have to do all sorts of stuff. And, I don't know. It would seem like a lot of responsibility and, you know, just moral compunction, you know, like on your part and stuff. So,
Yeah. Okay. So what? So what's the plan when you get back? Do you see somewhere down the road, or have you been writing articles?
Hello?
Do you see? Hello? Are you
guys
still there?
Yeah, you just cut out.
Sorry. I was saying, do you see yourself with maybe trying to write a book or some articles or putting your story together?
I'm not sure if any of this is noteworthy. If any of this is noteworthy, I don't know. I threw away my diary because I was just throwing away all sorts of stuff. Like it got rained on real bad, and for some reason, that experience was like, okay, what do we need? What do we don't need? And like a diary, it's just extra weight, so let's just throw it away.
Oh, okay.
It was just one of those things. It's just like necessity and moving forward and what kind of prevents that. And threw a bunch of stuff away for sure.
I think though, when the two of you get together though, and you compare notes and you're sitting down over, I don't know, a couple of beers or a couple of Cokes or a couple of cups of coffee or whatever, and you start looking again at the pictures, I think it's going to come together enough that you're still going to be able to, to tell your story one way or another, because what you guys are doing.
I think we'll definitely remember a lot of this stuff. Like, you just don't forget it, It's just like some of the stuff that just happened and the experiences and the people you meet, you just don't forget about the kindness and, the hilarious sort of bad shit that like happened to you, in hindsight. And you're like, oh man, we almost separated at that point. We almost went solo, So,
Well, it sounds like something that, because you took so many pictures too, but you might be able to do as a presentation, to do some sort of a speech between the two of you, and then having a video presentation to go along with it, and it'd be nice to have both of you do it, because you'd have each other to bounce off of and to get both of your perspectives.
Yeah, we definitely have different perspectives, and that was a part of the just heated exchanges we'd have too. It's just his perception and how we should travel versus mine, and just more of the like, let's kind of take it easy approach versus like, let's just keep riding until we're completely drained and exhausted, as long as we keep making progress. So, there's just different perspectives and different ways of enjoying, the tour.
Oh yeah. No, there's definitely no point in doing it unless there's no point in doing it unless you're getting something out of it. And I'm sure you guys are feeling you guys have got to feel pretty, since you're so close to finishing this up, it's got to be a certain amount of relief and a lot of pride in being able to pull it off.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's just something where it's just like, you don't know what you're capable of unless you try it. You surprise yourself. I think a lot of people have to really let themselves try and go for it, and they'll surprise themselves what they're capable of, what their bodies are capable of mentally. I mean, just the whole package.
Well, I remember somebody told me recently too, I was talking about working on a project and I thought it was too big for me. And he said, it's better to shoot a little bit too high and miss than to keep, shooting for the same level and hitting every time, because unless the other way makes you continue to keep climbing, and like you said, otherwise you won't be able to see stretch yourself out and see what you're capable of doing. And
that's how you learn.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's how you learn. Absolutely.
And with mileage, we're up to we can do over 100 now a day. Before, our goal was like 50 miles an hour, 50 miles a day, and Armstrong. So we're going to try to push Daytona, which is like 218 miles away. We're going to try to push that in, you know, 2 days. Roughly.
Do you guys see yourself? I'm not talking about this particular trip, but or this particular, you know, cause or for this particular reason. But do you see yourself taking another cycling tour again of this length?
Possibly. Maybe, you know, I would need to save a lot more money for sure, and be more minimalist about it. I think I packed way too much, over prepared for it. I think, you know, less is more, and that's that sort of sense. I think I would do a tour maybe in Europe, somewhere like that, where it's more bicycle friendly, where this is more of a, I think, commonplace thing. The roads over here are not really conducive for the most part, you know, like in the South or a lot of places, I think, in America. And also the camping, you know, part has been difficult. You should be stealth camping, but I think there's a learning curve along with that, just like anything else. We met someone who was apparently stealth camping for 8 months. You know, he went to Montreal and then he came back. He lives in New Orleans. And we met him, and he said he had no real issues with that. But we were, you know, we were just running into just lots of trouble regarding that. So, I think it's a learning process for sure.
Oh, sure. I was just gonna say that there's so much to take into account that you almost have to a certain degree, you do as much research as you can, but. A lot of it you just have to learn as you go along, and it seems like with that in mind, you'd like to be able. I would hope that you guys would be able to use that again sometime. And Europe would be cool.
Yeah, I think Europe would be really cool. Just different perspectives, you know. It's just like, you know, like all the different countries and ways of being and stuff. And yeah, that's my input on that. Dustin, you have anything? Nope. Absolutely not.
Well,
we're
going for short, succinct answers at this point. Nope. Okay. let's take a break. is sponsorship an option, or is that?
I don't know. I'm Olympic Bobo here. You know, I'm growing my beard out, just looking like Forrest Gump. I think I could do it. We're riding about 100 miles, maybe even more, loaded bikes. So I can only imagine what I can do on like a carbon fiber bike that's, you know, unloaded. So that'd be cool.
No, but yeah, but it would just be great if you could get some, you know, some sponsorship from a bike company, or whether it's from I don't know, some kind of, you know, something, some kind of a corporation that you feel comfortable with attaching your name to.
We feel like we need to be sponsored by McDonald's and the Waffle House, because that's where we stop every single time. So
I think that's great. I just think
McDonald's.
That's great. Because I mean, you just don't think about that when you're thinking about, or I don't, about taking a trip like that, but it's like you said, you're just burning off so many calories that, you know, eating at McDonald's is not that big of a deal. And on the flip side, when you're traveling on a budget like you guys are, you know, that dollar menu helps stretch your cash as far as you can.
Yeah, definitely. It's just like the safe haven. We go there, we can connect to the world again. There's outlets, Wi-Fi. So there's just all this stuff there. And of course, the cheap food. And we don't look like we eat at McDonald's. And I'm kind of ashamed to say that, you know, eating McDonald's this entire time.
Let's take the word out of that, because I can see the presentation for you guys at corporate and the idea of, you know.
Really well. I mean, we did like this little video of me in my boxer shorts,
you know, and just like, this, you see this body? Like, this is brought to you by McDonald's. Like, this is just pure muscle, lean, you know, like, this is,
I got it. People say that McDonald's doesn't have any nutritional value. Well, apparently, you're not busy enough.
Exactly.
And then they show you guys cycling wherever. Okay, there you go. We're set. Let's get a hold
there
of them. They're in Oak Park, Illinois. So I don't know how we get a hold of them, but we'll.
Today, and you're okay as long as you eat our food.
What was the secret to our success as we continue to travel across America? Oh, it was the Big Mac. It was a Big Mac.
It was the spicy chicken.
I'm gonna eat a Big Mac.
Boy, I'm gonna have to ride that bike a lot. Well, no, let's see, but sir, you're just a pig. These guys are actually riding. They're actually cycling. You know, you have to stay motivated. Well, gentlemen,
sure.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate that you guys are involved. What are you hoping that people do? Are you hoping that to raise funds, or is it just getting awareness out there about what's going on, and with these two different diseases?
I'm speaking for myself, but I feel like people just need to take care of themselves more, find jobs that they love, learn to live simple, enjoy the simple things. Like, I think on the tour that Andrew and I have learned that the simple things in life are the best, like warm shower, a bed, sleep in, good food. Those are the things that matter the most. And especially the people that are in our lives, relationships with people matter most. That's all I have to say. What about you, Andrew?
Well, I'm hoping to raise money and awareness. I wish there's a way to like spotlight like my aunt and give her like some experimental treatment or whatever. That'd be cool, but I feel like just being connected with people is just like the best part, you know, living this happy life and living in the moment, you know, and it's not taking anything for granted.
Yeah, I mean it's a thing that people hear, you know, a lot, but they kind of take for granted and they don't really apply it. But everybody has more than they think. There's more to people than they give themselves credit for. They have more, you know, they're stronger than they think. They can do more than they think. It's just a matter of getting out there and doing it, or at least trying.
It's just a matter of believing yourself and just, you know, taking off those, training wheels or whatever it is, you know, just, or those fears or those things that shackle us and going for it, whatever it is that you like and passionate about.
The other thing too, is I think too, that people, they get frustrated if things don't work out immediately. It's okay if you screw up. It's okay if things don't work out perfectly, because then you've learned something to do next time, or you've learned to do something else, but you've learned something from it. And because if you sit around and you do nothing, that's exactly what you're going to end up getting out of the day. And
Yeah, and that's how we've learned on this trip. It's just like, okay, something bad happened, let's do it this way instead, you know? And it's just, it was something that was, no, it might have been a little bit jarring or whatever, disorienting, but you get through it and just move on, keep riding, and just learn for the future. And just like, okay, like next time we'll do it this way and see how that goes. And you just keep thinking and keep.
It sounds like the cycling metaphors are just too obvious. Whatever it is that you're going through, you just need to keep riding. You just need to ride your way through it. Gentlemen, when you get back in a couple of weeks, can we talk, or a couple of months or whatever, to compare notes when you get your pictures together?
Yeah, sure. That sounds great. I think I have an article that came out on Sunday in the Coloradoan or something.
Okay.
When you
know for sure about that, go ahead and send me a message through Facebook and let me know, and we'll be sure to mention it. And I don't know how little a difference it'll make, you know, with the size audience that I generate, but I definitely like to help spread the word and awareness. But
yeah,
but anyway,
for sure.
Please, everybody, if you're listening, take some time and learn a little bit more about cancer and the hope that there is behind turning the corner and living with it, and appreciating the time that you have, and also about ALS and about any other life changing things. Gentlemen, I appreciate your time. You be sure, because I'm guessing, what is it now down there, about almost 7 o'clock?
Yeah, 7:10.
Okay, so put your feet up and go find your favorite find a McDonald's nearby, and and have yourself a good night, okay?
Yeah, you as well. Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it, man. You guys take care. Dustin Michaels, my friends, that's Dustin Michael and Andrew Hubie, I think, are their names. We're going to go ahead. I think we've got – let me go ahead and make sure here. He's been on hold for a couple of minutes. You've been on hold there for a little bit there. Sorry, I wasn't quite sure how to work into the conversation there. Is this Bob?
It is Bob. Don't worry about it, man. I was just patiently waiting my turn.
Oh, okay. you're making it sound like there's something in it for you. Well, you know, it's just me and the eight people that are listening. So it's okay.
That's all right. We've actually gotten together and talked to less people, David. So I'm not too worried about it.
That'll be our focus that we'll start with here. Let me go ahead and remind people here that it is now that we're back on Mountain Standard Time. It's 4:52 here, and we're talking to comedian Bob Gaudette. If you haven't heard of him, and you haven't been out to see enough shows, you're not. I was gonna say, but it just means that you haven't been out and seen enough show on Fort Collins, because he's one of my favorites, for whatever that's worth.
Well, thank you, David.
Yeah, I mean, one of the few people I can say that is worth paying to go out to see, and I don't say that about a lot of people.
Well, thank you, man. That means a lot coming from you, man. I appreciate that.
So let me just go ahead and give out the number here real quick. I'm going to give out the call number. I'm going to take just a tiny break here real quick, so I can find some notes here, and then we'll go for it here. Okay, does that work?
All right. Sounds good, man.
Phone number to call and talk to the studio with our friend Bob Gaudette. It's 646-564-9650. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead and listen to some Stevie Wonder here for just a minute. This is Higher Ground. My name is David Bublitz, and this is the first anniversary weekend edition of the $12 Radio Show. Wonder and Higher Ground. David Bublitz with you in the $12 Radio Show. I'm here with my guest, Bob Gaudette. Bob,
hi, everybody.
Are you? Absolutely. Everybody say hi to Bob. And then, I wish we had a studio audience, but I don't know where I'd put them here.
In your studio apartment.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Well, I like the fact that it's a studio apartment. See, so yeah. I just like the word studio and go with that. By the way, of course, I should remind people that you're coming here, the show from the Ramblewood Studio here at the northwest corner of City Park in Fort Collins. Thanks for tuning in. Fox. Ooh, I like that. Because they have a split personality. You know, they've got the Simpsons on their main channel, and then they have Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity on one of their outlets. You know,
you
so you can't cover much more ground than that, can you?
No, I don't. Not without getting seriously injured.
I think if I had to pick politically amongst that spectrum, though, I think I would take political advice from Homer Simpson over Sean Hannity.
Yeah, I would definitely go. Yes. Yeah, I go with the Simpsons on that. I can't
help it. It's not even politics necessarily. It's just whenever I listen to that network, I can't explain it. It's like an adult coloring book. They want to bring it down to the, you know, it's the weekly reader version of
But all you're doing is coloring explosions and bad things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like
whatever sells today. They give you a good color kit so you can highlight the damage along the way and let you
That's it, man. You know, shading for all the shrapnel and everything.
I got to tell you, first off, I appreciate that you're here. Secondly, I got to tell you that I appreciate that you're here and that I didn't screw things up. There's a couple of people I was mentioning before. Behind the scenes, I was already explained that I screwed up contacting everybody about what time to engage in the show. So again, I'd like to remind people that you can catch Woody Purcell. He's a wonderfully talented country singer. He and his band will be at the Sundance Saloon tonight. And then he'll be back again in November. So it'll be great. He's like the coolest guy. He's got a 9-to-5 job, and then he also does comedy full time. And he's almost 60, and he still does. He's been a rodeo clown for the last 30 years.
Good grief!
I mean, any part of that? I mean, you know. It's impressive any of these people to do that. I mean, because, you know, you're married, you've got kids, you've got a family, you've got a house, you've got all the rest of it, and you're doing comedy in your spare time. That makes me tired. But then you throw in, and you're a rodeo. Wow.
How do you become a rodeo clown?
You know, I wish he was here. You would love to get a chance. You'd love to get a chance to talk to Woody, because he really.
I find that fascinating. I would kill to find out how one gets into being a rodeo clown.
he just does. He walks the walk and talks the talk. And as soon as you hear that voice, you know he's not kidding. He's a genuine cowboy, but he's singing for you. And then when he's telling some real stories about all the bones that he's broken along the way, and he doesn't just sing country. His life is.
Is
a country song.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're gonna get Woody Purcell back here on the show. I guess we're gonna try for a week from today, and also to comedian a mutual friend of ours. We're gonna try and get Brett Crandall here back on the show because he was also supposed to be here, but this used to be a daily show, and I think what it was is that when I sent the note out to everybody. Mm-hmm. I put the time for people to call in, thinking that I was still on the daily schedule. Because I looked at my note later on. It's like, Bob, could you call at 10? Woody, can you call at 10:30? And then when I saw this note this morning, it's like, oh, son of a bitch. this isn't good.
Mm.
We're gonna
had contacted me privately, so I knew I was supposed to call later in the afternoon.
Oh, okay, good. Good. Are you hearing a lot of static, or is it just me?
That might be you. So I don't know if you need to adjust the medication, or if it's a technical glitch, or I'm not.
I think the safe bet is both.
Whatever you gotta do, man.
I think. Are you not supposed to pick these pills with liquor? Is that it?
Yeah, that's probably not the best idea.
Oh, so when they say it's a nighttime med, I shouldn't take my morning and my nighttime stuff at the same. Oh, it's a, oh.
Yeah. If you miss one at night, you're not supposed to take it along with the morning med.
Oh, so like if I'd gone a week, say, without taking one, I shouldn't take the seven. That I should have taken.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't try to make up for it all in one dose. No.
God bless you. You're now officially my favorite mental health professional. Thank you. I'm glad I got you back, Dave. Glad you too, man. You're one of my favorite people here in town. It's always fun to see you. Always good to hang out with you. And with the stretch that I had there, it's nice that there's a few people that'll still talk to me. It's amazing how long people still remember strange behavior. They'll forget about a good show, overnight,
mm-hmm.
but they remember mm-hmm. the strange stuff. Enough about me and my mental health issues. We've already covered that every day here for the last year. You are, by the way, one of the lucky guests to be here today on the first anniversary. This is the beginning of the second year.
Of the second year.
I certainly hope this lasts.
That's cool, man.
It is, yeah. I the only thing that I'm hoping is that we can just generate a little bit more listenership, and because you don't make money on a podcast. It's basically just a hobby, but you want to make it as cool of a hobby.
Because it is it's also a hobby where you can help some friends plug some stuff depending on. Where your listeners reside.
Sure. Well, because I was thinking about this. I went and I visited my brother yesterday, and he's a car nut, and he owns a custom auto paint store. So he sees people with a lot of classic cars.
Yeah.
And he bought a toy that I had a chance to see yesterday. He bought a 1928 Model A.
Oh wow.
But what I love about Eddie is that most people, if they have a car like that, they put a velvet rope, so you can't get near it. I said, can I honk the horn? That's all I want to do. He said, get in the car.
Get in the car and have a good time, man. That's why we got it.
he drives it up to Estes, once people see that it's a Model A that's slowing up traffic, people are slow to give him the finger, or they bring it down.
Yeah, you're driving a 90-year-old car. They do take it a little easier on you when they find out you're in the classic rig.
Yeah.
For sure.
So Bob, how long have you been doing comedy?
Oh Lord, off and on just over 12 years now. Actually, almost closing on 13. My son, who is actually sitting across the room from me, was an infant in his car seat the first time I was privileged to take the stage, and now he'll be 13 in January. So,
oh well, very cool. Yeah, if I remember,
pretty close to 13 years.
13 years. So mm-hmm. you are the longest tenured comic here in town.
I believe I am, aside from yourself.
Oh yeah, no, but I haven't really done anything the last couple of years. It's just been a hobby. I haven't really been able to jump back in yet.
Yeah.
But unfortunately,
that's kind of what it's fallen to for me right now too. But thanks to yourself and a few other folks, I've got some work here over the next month or two, and I was able to I was actually able to go to Kansas. Last weekend with Weston Unruh, did a show out there at a casino in Kansas. So
cool.
Yeah, we're getting to do a few things. It's pretty nifty.
Yeah, and I'm definitely looking forward to the show that you and I are doing together. I'm doing a show at the Rialto in Loveland, and I haven't been there in years. I used to do it like a couple of times a year, and this is really.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Have you been inside there before?
I have not. I've been near it, and I've heard all about it, but I've never actually been inside.
What's cool about it is like, okay, so it's got a huge theatrical stage because that's what a comic needs.
yeah, just nothing but room.
You need something that you could do a stage version of Rent or Oklahoma on for stand-up comedy.
Yeah, with a single spotlight. Playing all of the characters in the cast tonight will be Mr. David Rublitz.
Well, if we adjust the medication again, I think I could pull it off. Then there's
rent
an orchestra
the one man show.
There's an orchestra pit. And
that's
balcony.
Exactly what we wanted, distance.
Well, yeah, no, I couldn't figure. That's the only thing that was a bit of a drag for me too, because I love to deal with the crowd. So you're kind of taking that away. Anyway, that was coming up to remind everybody. November the 10th, it's going to be myself, and it's going to be you, and it's going to be Brett Crandall, and then we don't know how he got on, and then there's Dickie Bill Wagner. I'm kidding. I didn't mean that the way that came out.
The wild Reverend Dickie Bill Wagner.
God, all he had to do is Dickie Bill's a whole story. That's a whole hour in itself. We won't even go there.
It could be. Dickie Bill is a man of many facets, that's for sure.
Dickie Bill, whenever I watch Better Call Saul.
I'm
on
sorry,
TV,
one more time?
Whenever I watch the show Better Call Saul on AMC, the Shifty Lawyer, I can't help it. I think of Dickie Bill. Yeah.
Yeah. that's not entirely inaccurate. Yeah, I'll give you that.
And you know what? I don't mean that in a bad way, because he's an entertaining guy. It's just you definitely would have remembered meeting either one of them. So
that's fair.
Yeah, luckily he's on the other end of the dark side too. So we don't have to worry about getting any late night calls from him.
We'll be all right.
Yeah. Luckily, we're not part of that tight social circle that's going on. So tell me a little bit here. You started out, like you said, 13 years ago. Do you remember the first place that you performed?
I do. It was right here in Fort Collins. It's not there anymore. Well, the building is still there. It's under a new name now. It's called Mojo's now. It was called Sullivan's once upon a time. And it's over on City Park Avenue. And I was working for the local newspaper, the Coloradoan, at the time. I was printing it. And I saw an edition of the Collegian that had an ad for a comedy contest over at Sullivan's. And I was joking with my supervisor, and I said, I should sign up for that. And he said, yes, you should. And so before I could talk myself out of it, I did. And
there you go.
Yeah, that was fun, man. I put the call out, and the friends really, really came through for me on that one. I mean, I packed the bar that night, and we just had a really good time with it. So,
well, you and I met, it was a while ago, but you'd had some time into it already. It was pretty obvious watching you. I met you about 6 years ago, and it was obvious that when we had done shows together, where you were going to get a chance to do some time. You've got some fans, some friends and fans out there that turn out for you.
I've been blessed. There's been a lot of very supportive people who have found time to come visit and see us. It's hard for anybody, especially comedians, to get your friends to come out and see you, because you tend, especially with the open mic and stuff, you sort of work the same stuff to polish it and get it good. And so after about the fourth time they've seen you, they're like, yeah, that's great, dude, but if you could do like a whole new 15 minutes, that would be awesome. And you're just like, yeah, I'd love to, but I haven't written that yet. So,
a friend of mine that I had started out under had said that they asked him how much would it cost for somebody to do 30 minutes, and they told him, and he told him, and he said, he asked him about 45 or whatever it was, but then he said, could he do 15 minutes more? And then he gave him the adjustment to the price, and he said, why is it so much more? What's the difference between 30 and 45 minutes? He said, about 2 years.
Yeah, right.
Because it is. If you
write
10 or 15 minutes worth of new material that you've added to your act a year,
mm-hmm.
For most working comics, unless you're like a Louis C.K. or a Jim Gaffigan,
right,
where it's a different show every time. For a working comic, that means you try and do a couple of new bits a week, and then maybe a new bit out of each month, out of every couple of weeks or a month will add itself back into your into your set. Friends don't get it. When's the new show coming?
Your guess is as good as mine.
as soon as something devastating happens again.
As I can experience some more trauma and depression in my life, I'll be happy to come up with a new 20.
I don't really want to go through that. I'm more comfortable people calling me a hack.
Right.
I can handle.
Right. And the other thing, too, man, is, I mean, it's sometimes you have to look at quality over quantity. I mean, if you need some one-liners to throw away for some bridging stuff, and so that's fun. You can develop those fairly quickly. But to develop something that's fun to do and fun to get the audience into, it's a little bit longer than that, man. And I think that's, you know, you told me one time that one of the things that separates the people in this business is that honesty and that discipline. The honesty to say, you know what, that's not working and I have to let it go or I have to adjust. And the discipline to say, look, this is the time I have and this is what I'm comfortable with and that's what I'm going to work. So, I mean, there's some rules to play by, man. You have to. Otherwise, you start to, you know, you end up with that quantity over quality thing. And I think everybody loses in that. I don't think it's as much fun to do as a comic. And I think it's less fun to witness as an audience member because the passion isn't there from the stage.
It can be a very humbling profession because, I mean, people will sit through a band and listen to a new song and they don't get excited. But we work off the reaction so much that if you're planning on doing a 30-minute set and they're not buying you that night, you can go through that 30 minutes in about 12.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Because that's always my thing is if I don't get the reaction I think I should get, then I rush through the next bit to get to the punchline thinking, well, that's all right, I'll get them with that one. And the problem is that you hurt the setup and you run out of time a lot faster.
Oh, yeah. No, and of course, contradictory, you know, to what you should do, but there's what you should do, and then there's the reality of what you're confronted with. Because comics just aren't comfortable with silence. That's one of the reasons why I wish I wrote more stories and less bits, because then that way, if you tell a great story, they're listening, they're attentive, and there's going to be some punchlines along the way, and then the longer that you do it, the punchline, more punchlines will continue to develop, but it's not quite so, so laugh-oriented they have to laugh every 30 seconds type of thing.
Right. Right. And of course, the risk you run with that is if you don't put enough punchlines in there, you lose them. And then when you come to the big payoff, half of them aren't paying attention anymore.
That's also the trick, too, is finding you got to make sure that story has the big payoff. If you're going to keep doing it. Because I've got a couple of stories that I would love to tell, but there's no great big ta-da at the end.
And that's it. And there's some that work so much better. Like people, I love to tell stories, but I don't do it on stage as much. And I've had people talk to me and say, how come you don't do that? And it's like, it's stranger when you're monologuing it. When you're standing with a small group of people, at a coffee shop or out in the yard or something, you're all sort of carrying that conversation. There's little interactions that make it that much more fun. And you don't always get that interaction on stage. It's more of a monologue. And so sometimes the flow of the story isn't as good because you're not getting that personal interaction with the audience.
Well, and the other thing too that I find is that when I'm in, a story will come up, you never usually tell a story. You have to be prompted to tell a story. So you've usually got at least one friend there in that circle who go, "Hey, Bob, tell the thing about."
Yep.
And then with that, prompting, you've already been given a little bit of validation from the people that are circled around you, going, "Oh, we got to listen to this." But definitely something that it's too bad that we are so motivated by having to get every single laugh and not just making it.
Yeah,
an hour-long performance necessarily.
Right, and that's also, like I said, sometimes that plays into that contract with the audience that you have, where it's like, look, we didn't come for a theatrical, we came to laugh, and so I think sometimes it's audience expectation that sort of drives what we do as well as what we've practiced.
Oh yeah, no, and I'm also one of these people. You can tell me that it's a bad crowd, and it might technically be not the best crowd, but the bottom line is that if they didn't laugh, it's not their fault. They paid $10 to come see you. If you don't want to blame yourself, that's one thing. But hey, they came. They're there.
Yeah.
It's just they just you were selling, and they just weren't buying that particular
that's
day.
It. And that happens sometimes. That's certainly not always a reflection on the talent or the cleverness of the comedian. Sometimes your style just doesn't click with an audience, and you have to let those ones go. I think a lot of us have done that, where you've played a show and afterwards gone, wow, it's just. I had a show in Denver, probably, I want to say the beginning, towards the beginning of this year, maybe the spring. And it was about 8.5 to 9 minutes of silence on the recording that I have of it. It's just me talking to what you would imagine is nobody. That's not the crowd's fault. My material wasn't connecting with that crowd at all. So you can't expect them to laugh at stuff that they're not into. So you just have to let that one go and move on.
And two, it's also a matter of percentages too. A joke doesn't work 100% of the time. Even your best stuff, it works 95% of the time. But there's going to be a time where, I mean, comics really, I've never understood how they can get egos and attitudes, because eventually a show will come bite you in the ass. You're gonna get brought back down to earth the hard way. And there's times where it's such a peculiar crowd, you can run what you think is, you know, this is my bread and butter. This is the big finale, and you get nothing as a result.
Mm-hmm. Yep, been there, done that too, man. That's those are just a little. Those are the ones that keep you grounded. Those are the ones that make you go, yeah, there's always work to be done here.
It is. I was debating. I was gonna thinking about recording a CD of the night that we're at the theater, and I think that's the title of the CD is simply "Work in Progress," because that's what stand up comedy is basically by nature all the time. Let me ask you this. What do you think your favorite show was that you've done, or one of your favorite venues, or some of them, or one of them?
Yeah. Well, I got to be honest with you, man. One of my favorite places to play is always out east in Fort Morgan and Sterling with Moose Lundstrom and Adam Bokey, the guys from Two for the Road Entertainment. It's eastern Colorado. It's small town. But the shows are almost always full, like 100-plus people, and they're always there to have fun at the show. Like, they really are. The audience is into the show. They're responsive. They have a great time. And you're treated like a rock star. I mean, by the people that are there, by the people that are taking care of you at the hotel, and by Larry and Adam themselves.
Well, you go into a town like that. You know, for me, along those same lines, that size town, mine used to be Gillette, Wyoming. And I would tell people that, kind of like when you tell people about, Sterling and Fort Morgan, they stare at you. But they don't realize that when you go to town, you are the thing to do.
Yes.
Not just that night, but you're the thing that they're looking forward to that month.
Right. Yeah, because there hasn't been anything going on all month, so you're it.
I mean,
it's a lot of fun.
You know, there's cable and there's internet and the rest of it, but there's DVDs, but to actually go see a live comedy show, if you live in towns like that, they're usually located just far. It's far enough away where it does present a challenge to get there, so that when you do bring the show to them, that I think adds to the element of being a big deal too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, and they're just. And they're just fun crowds, man. I mean, they just, you know, they're looking for, they want to have fun. They want to be entertained. So it's just, it's fun to be able to do that, man. It's, you know, it's what we want to do anyway. So to be able to get that feedback and let it build and have a really fun set. You know, I had a set in Sterling last year that I just had so much fun with. And to let you know how cool the crowd was and how good of a show that just sort of it worked just like a comedy show should, man, where it started off fun and it just kept building, and then the headliner just finished off the evening. And I talked to Moose afterwards, and he said, I had a friend out in the audience that watched you go, and I did about 20 minutes. He said, and he had a blast with you, and he kept thinking, I don't know how the headliner's going to top this cat. And he goes, and then he told me, he goes, but he did. He has a different style, and he kept us just as entertained as the other guy did. So it was good, you know. The headliner came on and just sort of took him over the top.
And that's the thing is that there's a night that you're going to close the show, and somebody will go up behind you, and they turn up the heat, and they do an amazing performance, and you wonder, how am I going to top that? But then you've got to realize that. That's not that you're going the wrong way about it. You don't have to worry about topping them. You just have to walk out there, separate the difference between them and you, hit your mark, and start with your set, and then people go, oh, okay, because if you don't bring it up, they're not going to think about it.
They're already in the mood, so they're just going to follow along right with it.
comics are so can be very self-defeating in that way, because if a joke doesn't work, for Christ's sakes, don't point it out.
Right.
Come on. Well, yell, highlight it, remind them, you know.
Right, right. There's certain times when you can get away with that, but that's one of those things where if you go to that well too often, somebody's going to go, yeah, that's fine. How about you fix the jokes instead of just pointing out they're not working?
Yeah, no, I mean, if you've got a wonderful self-deprecating sense about you and you're a quick wit, you can get away with that a couple of times. But and then the other pet peeve that I have is when they'll be a small crowd and they'll berate the audience. It's like, why punish the people that are there?
I've watched that happen a couple of times. You got like six people in a room that are paying attention, and one guy gets up there and they don't react to his joke, and he's like, "Oh, dude. It's like, what are you doing, dude? They're the only ones paying attention. Stop trying to make them not want to pay attention."
Yeah, I mean, you've. What am I trying to say here? You're the one who booked this particular show, so enjoy the time and make the best out of whatever it is that you have in front of you, because nobody forced you to go to Kearney, Nebraska by a court order
or
Lyman or whatever.
Yeah.
And,
you took the show, so you do the show.
Yeah. Because more often than not, it's like you said, you go to a small town and they're – well, really, you go to a show, period, anywhere. Most people are rooting for a good show because they've either invested money and their time, or at the very least, they've invested their time. And it sounds old-fashioned, but your show is the reason that they left the house and got a babysitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're invested. They're here to have a good time. They want to have fun. That's all you got to do, man, is help them out.
What's the next show coming up for you?
The next show coming up is with you on the 14th of this month at the Bull and Boar.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. The Boar, the Boar and the Bull down there in downtown Loveland. We're doing that second Friday of each month, the most unique – I almost said strange, but that would take the wrong picture. Most unique setting that you've been in. And I was under the impression when I got the show, we were doing a show out at the Best Western in Loveland, Colorado. And
I actually got to do that show with you.
Yeah, and that
me,
was
you,
know, that,
Ryan, and Dickie Bill.
And that was an entertaining night. It wasn't a huge crowd, but it was an entertaining evening out. So the lady who runs the bar there, she ended up going a different direction, and she gives me a call. She said, "I've got another show in Loveland," and she says, "It's the Boar and the Bull." And I thought, well, okay. So I hear that name, and I'm thinking it sounded like an expensive steakhouse. That name.
Yeah. Yeah,
to me.
Or perhaps
it's
a British pub that someone misplaced.
Yeah, it's not either one of those. And then I looked at it online, and it's like, I got the impression, oh, it's a deli with craft beer. Oh, okay, it's not that. This might talk you into doing it right here, and anybody out there listening. It's a working butcher shop. So... all I heard was she sent me the picture, and she showed me this beautiful area where they perform. It holds about 56 people. Sometimes they fill that up, and because of being a small room, it's just incredible. You know, the acoustics. It sounds so enormous, but once in a while during the show, people will go through. You hear the bell on the door, and they're over here ordering steaks and things like that.
Excellent. It'll be like it'll be like pre-dinner theater, wouldn't it? I guess it'd be.
You have to be really ambitious. You're gonna go see the comedy show. You buy your steak, and then you have to go home and make your own dinner. Yeah.
Yeah, that's wow. And that's the thing, man. Is if we catch their attention after they buy their steak, you better put that thing on ice, bro. You might be here a few minutes.
Well, I like the show too there because. No knock on Fort Collins, but most of the shows that are up here are for a specific under 25, under 30 crowd. And Loveland's pretty much an older community. But what's nice is, ideally, if you're going to get a club that works well, you want to get every age group so that you're going to end up hitting every button and it's going to hit somebody. And so far they've been comfortable, paying a cover and turning out, and they're incredibly attentive. That's the other thing. It's a little scary how they're that attentive. You hit the punchline, they laugh big, and then just like there's this vacuum, and then
they
laugh.
They just wait. Bam. <that's...
laughs> We don't want to be rude and laugh too long.
Yeah,
no,
right.
no, it's,
we don't. Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Just keep right on laughing. You're fine.
I was going to ask you here. I think the last, because you've done this show here before once, and I think when you were on here, and when I've talked to people in the past, there's something that we do called five questions, but we'll make it more informal here and ask you a couple off of here. Asked you about your first show, and I asked you about your worst show. Let me ask you this here in the midst of five questions: who's somebody that you would pay to see, living or dead?
Oh man, there's so many.
Or it can be a couple.
You mean like local guys?
Locally,
I would pay to see guys like Ryan Knoll, Kyle Pogue. I would pay to see Mike Davidson, who's actually going to be on that show with us, I think, at the Bull and the Boar. I would definitely pay to see him. So there's a lot of local guys that I would plunk down some money to go see. My national guys that I enjoy, I've seen and would see again, guys like Brian Regan and Mike Birbiglia. Jake Johansson, I saw this is a while ago now, but I'd see him again. So there's, there's a lot of different people that I'd pay to see. But the local guys, definitely that group would be probably at the top of my list.
I think, now don't get me wrong, all three of those guys were funny, but the one though that is the most intriguing to me is Ryan Knoll, because
oh my god, he's just
the kid is, and I say kid because I'm 100 years old, but the guy is just
fair enough.
He's brilliant. And he does what appears to be highbrow material, and it is. But
it is. But he brings everybody along.
And there
it's
you go.
The weirdest thing.
He takes it along, and he either assumes that you know what he's talking about, or for the few people who don't, he walks you through it, and he doesn't talk down to you, and he doesn't condescend to you. He takes a storytelling approach to stand-up comedy in that regard.
Yep.
And he's prolific, and he's just such a nice guy. And because of all that, I hate him.
Absolutely.
Because
I've tried to cut his brake lines more than once.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's a few guys like that here in town. He's one. You know, David Rodriguez.
Yep.
He's funny. He's successful. He's a really nice guy. I can't stand him. No.
David Rodriguez, to me, is honestly just on a whole nother level than anybody I've dealt with in this local scene. He really just is. I would never say that I don't like him. I do like him. I think he's a very talented young man, and he's a nice guy. But you want to talk about being intimidated by a presence. I mean, this dude is just – everything he touches seems to turn to gold because he knows what he's doing. But it can be so intimidating sometimes to work with him or work around him because, it's one of those weird things where it's like I feel like I have to be better if he's in the room.
Well,
it's
funny, though. He's not intimidating by nature, but he, or his presence. It's what he's accomplished and brings to the conversation, because nobody could be more assuming. And I was obviously joking when I made those remarks before.
Right.
It's just he's that good. I was talking about your busy schedule, and I was talking about Woody's busy schedule. But he's another one. He's practically doing comedy full time. He works a full time job. He's got a wife. He's got kids. He produces a lot of different shows of his own.
Yeah, extremely involved.
And then he still finds time to design posters because, the poster I got for my show, I dropped him a note and I said, I'm doing a show. Could you do something? Could you shake it up and make it different? And I looked at it, and it was the best reaction that he could have gotten on me. I looked at it, and I thought, the hell am I looking at? And yet
– right?
But the more I looked at it, the more I realized that if I was walking down the street, it would catch my eye and force me to come and check it out.
Yeah, I've seen the poster. I like it. He does some phenomenal work. He really does.
He's got three things. He's naturally funny. He's very bright. He's very well grounded. And then on top of that, almost equally as important, what am I trying to say here? He has an amazing recall. He remembers everybody's name.
Right. Yes.
Because as long as I've been here,
he's really good at networking.
Yeah, and I mean, and not that can be taken as a negative thing, but
I don't. Yeah, certainly don't mean it that way.
I know you didn't mean that. I was just qualifying it for people that were listening. He's just got remarkable people skills, and because I mean, I've been trying to kind of find my bearings back here in Fort Collins here for the last couple of years, and I've really only talked to him in person, mm-hmm. not Facebook, maybe
yeah.
three or four times.
Right.
And every time I see him, it's Mr. Booblitz, how are you? How's this? How's that?
Yeah.
He'll remember every detail about the last conversation that we had. And, you know, it's not just remembering the name. That's impressive enough. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
he genuinely
yeah.
seems to like people. It's a mystery.
He does, yeah. Yeah.
I can't.
I know.
He does.
He has a talent for making those connections. He really does.
He seems to, that's the other thing, too. He's just a little too nice to be a comic. Give me a dick to work with. Is that possible? Hey,
you got me, David. That's about
it. No. Okay, maybe a little. Let me go ahead and remind everybody here. It's now just about 5:30. We're talking to our friend Bob Gaudette. Apparently, everybody
mm-hmm.
is still trying to find the show here, and they will listen later on in the archived episodes. But in our remaining time, if you'd like to, it's 646-564-9650. Going to play 90 seconds of music. Can you hang around, or you need to head out?
I actually do have to head out, man. I got my son with me, so we're gonna go probably throw the football around or do something. I'm not quite sure, but we're gonna go hang out for a little while. So
you better do that, and I appreciate you taking the time, and I will look forward to seeing you a week from Saturday.
Yep, we will be there, my friend, and I'm looking forward to the show. So it was good to talk to you. Thanks for the time, man.
Mr. Bob, you take your let's try that again. Yeah, Mr. Gaudette, you take care of yourself, and I will talk to you soon. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your weekend.
All right, you do the same, David. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bob Gaudette there, ladies and gentlemen, and Mr. Bob Gaudette, the Bob father, the founding members of the comedy community here in Fort Collins. It's a little bit after 4:30. We're going to take one last quick break, and then we'll wrap things up here. This is actually, I just told you to hold on. This is Hold On from Sam and Dave. My name is David Bublitz, and this is the $12 Radio Show. From Sam and Dave. My name is David Bublitz. This is the first episode of the weekly edition, the Sunday weekly afternoon weekly edition of the $12 Radio Show. It's what do we got here? About 4:35 Mountain Standard Time. I appreciate that you guys are here. It's officially, we've gone past the anniversary show, the first anniversary show. This is officially the beginning of the second year. So we had a chance to talk to, who did we talk to? We talked to Dustin Michael about his cross-country bike trip. He and his friend Andrew, to raise awareness on behalf of cancer and also ALS. Had a great conversation with him. Just got done talking with Bob Gaudette. We're going to take off here in just a second, but I wanted to be sure that I reminded you here of a couple of things. If you're looking for a movie to see this weekend, top 10 movies at the box office last week included Snowden, Bridget Jones's Baby, Don't Breathe, Queen Katwe. That's not right. It's as close as I'm going to come. Masterminds, the Clint Eastwood film Sully, the animated movie Storks, the very entertaining Magnificent Seven, Deepwater Horizon, and the number one movie at the box office last week was Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. I wanted to mention too before we took off here, some of the shows that are coming up here in Fort Collins. I hope you get a chance to get out of your house and see some shows. Remind you that every Sunday is open mic comedy at Bondi's Beach Bar. Every Monday, it's open mic comedy at Hody's Bar and Grill. Every Wednesday, as well, open mic over at Ma's Juice Bar, also known as Yum Yums. Professional shows. One Friday of the month is at Potero's Creek. One Thursday a month is over at the Colorado Room. There on the 20th. There's also a showcase over at Elliott's, and a lot of comedy going on. I hope you get a chance to get out and see those shows. So Bondi's, Hody's, Ma's Juice Bar, and then for professional shows, Elliott's, the R Bar, the Colorado Room, and Potero's Creek. So, and then there's also a special show coming up this week with Billy Wayne Davis, I think is his name, at Hody's on the 6th, this coming Thursday. So hopefully you'll get a chance to get out and see his show. Again, thanks to Bob and to Dustin, and apologies to Woody. We had a chance to talk to him, Woody Purcell, a very entertaining singer. We're going to get him on the show back here again very soon. And apologies to Brett Crandall, who I missed cues with today. That's a wrap. We won't see you again here until next week, Sunday the 9th, for the second episode, the once weekly edition of the $12 Radio Show. Whatever you do, be good to yourself. Take care of yourself. There's no reason not to be good to everybody around you, and there's certainly no reason not to be good to yourself, because you deserve it. That's a Sunday. That's a wrap. Take care of yourself. Be good. This is Green Onions from Booker T and the MGs. Bye-bye, everybody. Yeah.